Psalm 41 opens as follows. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? This is a psalm of David, written, as with so many of his psalms, out of the depths of his experience, out of the bitter trials of the pathway which he trod, being led of God unto the truth of the gospel, led of God to worship him, but knowing the bitter opposition of men against him, knowing the trials and the persecution common to the believer, knowing what it is to have those enemies who would not only seek his downfall and his hurt, but would seek his death. Knowing what it is to have those who hate him for the truth's sake. And knowing what it is also to have even his friends, those whom he once trusted, betray him. He knew from experience what it was to be poor and oppressed, to be in trouble, to be hated, to be sick, to be downcast, to be cast down, to be hounded from place to place, to have all men speak evil of him, to be misunderstood and misrepresented, to have the good that he spake twisted and presented as evil. He knew what it was to be hated. He knew what it was to suffer. But he also knew what it was before God to be a sinner, to have sinned against his God. And he knew what it was to feel the conviction of his sin, to feel sorrow for his sin, to know that God would be just to deliver him up to his enemies, to let his enemies have their will against him. He knew that God would be just to judge him and to destroy him. He knew that the troubles that he waded through were nothing more than his sins deserved. He did not deserve the blessing of God. He did not deserve to be spared from the difficulties and the trials through which he walked, because he was a sinner through and through, and he knew it. And he had not only sinned against man, he had not only wronged others, but he knew that the worst of his sin was that he had sinned against God. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against thee. Now, in that David was a sinner, he was not a rare thing, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you and I included, each and every day of our lives. And all have earned the wrath and the judgment of God. And that wrath is declared from the heavens above against our sins, so that if we have no answer for them, no cover for them, no deliverance from them, we will rightly be plunged into outer darkness when the great and terrible day of the Lord comes upon us, when this world is brought to a close, when we pass from time into eternity, and when we stand before a holy God to give an account for all that we have done, thought and said in this world. If we have no answer for those sins, he will be just and right to condemn us for those sins. That's the state of all man. And man has no claim, no answer against it. It is just, it is good, it is right. We deserve it. But that's common to all. What is not common to all that we see here is that David could say of himself, I have sinned, Lord, against thee. Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Few are brought to the point of both knowing they have sinned and confessing before God that they have sinned against him. That you are a sinner is a fact. But it's a fact that you will only confess unto God if God so opens your heart to see what you are by nature and what you are before him and the terrible state in which you stand. This is what set David here apart from other men. They all sinned too, but few saw it, few confessed it, as few confess today. You can tell anyone that they are a sinner before a holy God and they will rage in your face. The sin of this world in the day in which we live is brazenly paraded throughout this land as man in his trumped up pride proclaims how great and wonderful he is when he wallows in the filth of his own iniquity. And when the wrath of God burns from heaven above, it's but a matter of time before that wrath is exacted upon these fools who shake their fist in God's face. And if you're one of them, the clock ticks, ticks, ticks until you shall answer. But David knew the wonderful grace of God, that God intervened, that God shone light into the darkness of his soul, that God arrested him in the foolishness of his ways, that he was not left to himself, but God showed David what he is before him. And David could cry out as a consequence, I have sinned against thee. Lord, be merciful unto me. He knew what he was. He knew the state he was in. And he cried out to his God for help. Now, have you been brought there? If you are, it's a wonderful place to be brought. It's a terrible feeling to know that you've sinned against God. It's a terrible feeling to know that he would be just to plunge you into hell. But it's a wonderful place to be brought that you can see it and acknowledge it. For all those brought into that place, all those whom God brings to cry out unto him, will be answered. David's prayer here is answered. Lord, be merciful unto me. And the Lord was merciful unto him. The Lord abounded in mercy unto David. The Lord answered his cries and answered them abundantly. He answered them double. He washed David in the blood of the Saviour. He washed David in the blood of the Lamb of God. He delivered David from all his sins and all his corruptions. He delivered David from the wrath to come. And he delivered David from the hands of all his enemies. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. Oh, his enemies raged against him, but God delivered David from all his enemies. Ultimately, David would one day stand before his God and his Saviour in the world to come, clothed in righteousness, washed from his every sin and iniquity, triumphing over all who spake against him. Not for anything that he was or had done himself, because as he acknowledged, he had sinned against God as all men, but because God set his love and grace and mercy upon him. God blessed him. God blessed him. Do you know anything of the pathway of David? Do you know anything of the experience of which he speaks here? Do you know anything of your sin? Do you know anything of poverty? Do you know anything of trouble and trial? Do you know anything of the hatred and opposition of sinners against you? Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Oh, what a dreadful man, they say. Oh, how they hated David. Oh, how they hated what he stood for. Oh, how they hated what he said. How they hated his gospel. How they hated his discriminating message. How they hated the grace of God which he declared. How they wanted his hurt. How his message, his God, his Saviour, stood in stark contrast to the God that they worship. They may have claimed to worship the same God, but their idea of that God was that that God would reward them for the good that they did. They thought they'd earn their way to glory. And they despised David, for he said, "We cannot. There's none good. We're all full of sin. And we're all in his hands. And we need him to look upon us in mercy." Oh, how man hates such a message, and how they hated David who preached it. How they hated him. But of course, David here is but a figure of David's greater son. David here is but a picture, as in so many of the Psalms, and his experience here is but a picture, as in so many of the Psalms, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm opens to the chief musician. Christ is the chief musician. These are the songs, the psalms, the hymns that he brings forth from his children, from his bride, from his church. He puts these psalms into the hearts of his people. But he leads forth the praise. He leads forth the song. He leads forth the music. He's the chief musician. The psalms addressed unto him. And when it opens with these words, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor," the "he" is Christ. He's the one that considers the poor. And oh, how wonderful that he considers the poor. Because that's what we are, poor. We have nothing before God. Nothing, nothing with which we can earn our salvation. Nothing which we can present before him of any worth. If we know anything of what we are by nature, we know we've got nothing. We know we're poor, poor in spirit. We have no righteousness. We have no good deeds that we can claim before him. We have no riches that we can present before him. We are poor. But we read of a God here, a Saviour here, who is not said to condemn the poor, who is not said to be against the poor, but is said to be blessed because he considereth the poor. With the very opening words, the psalm presents unto us the wondrous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a Saviour who considereth the poor. Now, if you're poor, if you know something of your poverty before God, something of how bankrupt you are before Him, something of how full of sin you are, and how unrighteous you are, something of how broken you are before Him, if you're poor, you'll immediately see that as a wonderful hope presented to you. Because when you come to this psalm as one who's poor, you read of one who's blessed, who considers the poor, a Saviour who's come to die for sinners, a Saviour who's come to save sinners, a Saviour who's come for the poor in spirit, the poor and needy. And we read not just of what David experienced, but of what this Saviour experienced. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now the him here is not just the poor, but the him is the one who considers the poor, for he comes into time of trouble. And the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Now this is not so much David, but Christ. Christ was brought into trouble. Christ came into this world. He came unto his own, the Jews, and they received him not. All men despised him. All men rejected him. He came doing his Father's will. He came speaking of God the Father. He came speaking of his righteousness. He came speaking of the kingdom of God. He came speaking of his salvation, and men rejected him. They hated him, they despised him, they said, when shall he die and his name perish? And yet God says the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, though all men rage against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though they sought to put him to death. They sought to put him to death. They hated him. They rejected him. And in the end, God allowed them. God purposed that he should be nailed to the cross. But though they sought to put him in the grave and leave him in the grave, he said, I have power to lay down mine own life, and I have power to take it up again. They could not take it from him. He laid it down, and he laid it down that he should deliver his people from their sins. And he took it up again. They could not have their will. They wanted him dead. They wanted his name perished. They wanted his name to be blotted out from this world. And they still do. All mankind today rages against the name of Jesus Christ. They wish it wasn't there. And they wish he wasn't there. And every heart seeks to put him to death afresh. Yours and mine included. We hate him. And yet, he rose again from the dead. And he ascended up into glory with a shout. And he reigns in heaven above this day at the right hand of God the Father. And he reigns until all his enemies will be made his footstool. And fast approaches that day when he will return. He will return with his angels. This world will be burnt up in fire. The heavens will melt. The stars will fall. The earth will be burnt up, and all men, women, and children will stand before him, before he who is the Lord of Lords, the King, Lords, the King of Kings, before this one whom men sought to destroy, but who God sent as the Saviour of sinners, the Saviour of the poor, and who could not be destroyed, but was lifted up from the dead, raised up from the grave to reign in everlasting life. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. This Saviour is God. He has no beginning and no end. And man cannot destroy him. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive no matter what you try to do to him. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. Now this earth didn't want him. And yet his name is blessed. This earth didn't love him. And yet his name is preached to the four corners of this world, that all those for whom he died shall be gathered in and shall bow the knee and shall praise his name. Mine enemies speak evil of me, he said. When shall he die and his name perish? Well, he died upon the cross, but he rose again in newness of life, and his name will never perish. For everyone shall bow at the name of Jesus. And you will bow either today in this world, or you will bow in the world to come when you stand before him. But every knee shall bow. His name will never perish. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. His enemies sought his death while he died. But they sought that he should die forevermore. They sought that he should remain in the grave. And they could not have their will. For the grave could not hold him. For he is Almighty God. And having died, and having taken away the sins of his people, and having taken away the sin of the world, there was nothing to keep him in the grave. For he conquered sin. And he delivered his people. And God's justice could do nothing but demand that he reign forevermore, for in him there was no more sin. He'd taken it all away. He paid the price forevermore. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. When he was nailed to the cross, when he bore the sins of his people, when he was made to be sin, he went into a sleep of death, a valley of sickness. But the Lord strengthened him. He strengthened him. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. When he was upon that cross, this perfect, this holy, this righteous God and Saviour, he who never sinned, he who knew no sin, he who was without sin, when he was upon that cross, God took the sins of his people and laid them upon him. God made his own son to be sin for them, that they should be made the righteousness of God in him. And so identified was he with them, so united was he with David and Paul, and all his people, that he owned those sins as his own. And he could cry out, for I have sinned against thee. Though he personally never sinned, he too took those sins as his own, that he cried out as the one who was guilty. He cried out as the one whom God's justice demanded his death. I have sinned against thee. and bearing those sins. Oh, the sorrow, the torment he felt. How God's anger and wrath was poured out from the vaults of heaven above upon him. Oh, the sorrows he went through in his soul. Oh, the travail he went through as he waded through the rivers of death for his people. Cast out by all men, rejected by those who cried out with one voice, crucify him, crucify him. Let down by his own disciples who weren't there for him at the end. There he was, alone, nailed to a cross, bearing the sins of his people. And as a consequence, even his own father, with whom he had always walked by faith, with whom he had always communed, his own father whom he loved, looked upon him as a sinner because he bore those sins for his people and had to judge him as a sinner and had, as it were, to turn it back upon him when he beat him and bruised him. There he was alone. And in that suffering, his enemies walked alongside. They passed by the cross. They wagged the finger and cried, aha, aha. They despised this one who said he was the Son of God. They mocked him. They jeered him. They sought his hurt. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Oh, they go and tell others how they despise him. They encourage all men to reject him. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Don't follow him. All that hate me whisper together against me. They whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast under him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Oh, how they looked upon him upon the cross and triumphed over him. Look at him now. An evil disease cleaveth fast unto him. Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. We've got him. We've slain him. We've got rid of him. All that hate me whisper together against me. They devise my hurt. Oh, the hatred and the opposition he knew, both in his lifetime upon this earth and even as he died upon the cross. And how that hatred continues from all men against his name to the end of time. How we've hated him. How you've hated him. Perhaps you still do. Perhaps you still do. Perhaps your heart has no care for this man who considers the poor. His enemies despise him, they hate him, they plan his hurt, they speak lies about him, they whisper about him, they misunderstand him, they misinterpret him, they take his words and twist and change them. They speak evil of him. And why do they do this? Because ultimately they hate his God. They hated David and hated his God. They hated the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated him and rejected him. And they hate all those who speak of him and follow him. Believer, if you know this Saviour, if you're poor and he's considered your poverty, if he's shown you your sin so that you've cried out, Lord, be merciful unto me, for I have sinned against thee. If you've known his salvation, if you've known his blessing that the Lord has preserved you and delivered you, you will know as you journey through this world the hatred of man that was poured out upon your Saviour. The servant is not above his master. Just as they took his words and twisted them Just as they found fault in everything he did and said, no matter what. Just as he sought and did good and they portrayed it as evil, so you, as you render a faithful testimony to his name, so you, as you are kind to others, so you, as you walk through this world uprightly, will be despised and rejected and maligned by all men. They will make out that your good is evil. They will make out that your gospel is treacherous. They will make out that the truth which you stand for is a pernicious lie. They will make out that you are a liar and a deceiver. They will take all that you say and twist it and change it because they hate your God and Saviour. And they're moved with a malevolence which in many ways is not logical, is not reasonable, does not make sense. But it's because there's a spirit in them that wars against the spirit that indwells you. Because the flesh in us and in the world around us rages against the spirit. And it's not just those who are afar off. It's those who are close. Those who you would think are your brethren. Those who you would think are your friends. Those who once walked with you. David knew this in his own household. He knew it at the end of his days when he would say that his house had not been as he would wish it to be, but the Lord had made an everlasting covenant with him. He knew what it was for his family, for his own sons, to rise up against him, to seek his hurt, to seek his death. He knew what it was for his own household to be his own enemies. He knew what it was for brethren to turn against him. And believer, you will discover that those who profess Christ's name, those who walk in the gatherings of the church, those who claim to be God's, will turn and rend you. Those who you first thought were your brethren and sisters, those who you thought loved the same gospel you love, will take your words and find fault and pour scorn upon you. Those who should be the ones who love and walk with you, your own familiar friend, in whom you once trusted, who ate of your bread, lift up their heels against you. It happened with Christ, it will happen with you. He says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. And how Christ knew that, how he knew his disciples, how he knew those other disciples who were offended at his words, who left him, how he spake to his own few who remained, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom else shall we go? Thou, Lord, hast the words of eternal life. But even in that few who remained, there was one who betrayed him, Judas. Judas ate of the table. Judas was there at the supper. Judas took the same sop and dipped it in the water. Judas ate the same bread. And Judas betrayed his master for a few bits of silver. And when Judas knew what he'd done, he went out and hung himself. Such was the crime. Oh, don't eat of the bread of Christ's table. Don't come and sit at the gospel feast. Don't take of the bread of life and eat of Christ's bread. Hear his words. Take his name upon your lips. Preach his name to others and then betray him in the end. If you do, your judgment will be like Judas's. You will go out and hang yourself. Such will be the bitterness in your soul. And yet there were those who did this under Christ. Judas did. His own friend. One who claimed to be his. And the believer will know many who claim to be one with them, walking with them, who take the truth upon their lips and in the end turn and rend them. Turn and rend them. But God remembered this man, the man Christ Jesus, his own son. And God preserved him. And God heard his cry, Lord, be merciful unto me. God heard his cry in verse 10, Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them, that I may answer them, that I may rebuke them, that I may have an answer for their opposition. Raise me up. And God heard him. They raged, they triumphed, they thought they had the victory. But the one they put to death, the one you've put to death in your heart, when you shut your ears to the gospel of Christ, when you close your ears to the message of his grace, when you turn your thoughts and attention from his ways back to the ways of the world and your own selfish desires, when you turn from him, when you despise him, when you hate him, when you put him to death, know that you cannot keep him in the grave. Your hatred will not keep him in the grave. Your shutting your ears and shutting your eyes to him and his gospel will not put him out of sight. You may walk through this world for the next 70 years with your eyes and ears shut, pretending not to know Jesus Christ, peaceful in your own contented little enjoyment of this world and its pleasures, thinking all is well with your soul. But there comes a day when your eyes will be forcibly opened and when your ears will hear a voice that you cannot quench. And that one whom you persecuted will cry out unto you like he cried out unto Saul on the Damascus road, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ crying out unto you from his throne of glory as you stand before him. And you will have no answer for your sin and your rejection. And your eyes will not be able to blot out the sight. And your ears will not be able to silence his voice. But you will hear his voice and you will hear his sentence. Because he lives, even though you sought to put him in the grave. The grave could not hold him. Lord, be merciful unto me, he said, and raise me up that I may requite them. And there comes a day when he will requite your every opposition. He will stand before you and declare unto you, I am Jesus whom you persecuted. I died for the sinner. I died for the poor. I died for those upon whom I had compassion. I came in unto you speaking grace and mercy. I came unto you with food and water, and you would not. I came unto you with love and mercy in my gospel, and you said unto me, away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. He lives. He lives. This is his answer to those who sought his death. This is his answer to all his enemies, you included. I live. I live forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am God from everlasting and to everlasting. I am the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I live. Yes, his hope was in God. This man, the Lord Jesus, he hoped not in man. Man sought his death, but he had a God who he trusted. And that God was faithful, and that God raised him up from the grave. And he knew he was favored by his God. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. He knew he was God's. He knew he was God's favored. He knew God had chosen him. He knew he was elect. He knew he was God's favorite. And he knew his enemies could not triumph over him. He knew he was God's elect because they did not triumph over him. But he did rise from the dead. And he did deliver all his people for whom he died from their sins. He considered the poor. He came for the poor, poor like you and I. He came for the bankrupt. He came for the lost. He came for sinners. And he came to set them free. And none could prevent him. His enemies said much. They say much today. They do much. But God was with him. And God has him in his hands. And God has all his people in him in his hands. For they cannot be plucked from God's hands. Because David, like his master, was in his Saviour's hands. He was in God's hands. God had him in Christ, and God had Christ in his own hands. None could destroy Christ, and none can destroy any in Christ. My sheep will hear me. My sheep will follow me. They will not hear another. They will not follow another. And none can pluck them from my hands. They shall never perish. Christ says in John 10. They shall never perish. Because Christ is God's elect, his chosen seed. And in him all his people are elect and chosen. They're a chosen seed in their Saviour. They're safe in their Saviour's hands. And no matter what the enemy may do, no matter what those who persecute and rage against you, believer, may say and do, they can do nothing against you because you're in his hands. And you're in the hands of him who was not only raised from the dead, of him who will not only triumph over his enemies, as him who is before the face of God forever and ever, but you're in the hands of the one who reigns on high today, who reigns over all this world, who reigns over all the events in this world. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Son of God, the mighty King of Kings. He is our Saviour. He is the one who is blessed and shall be blessed upon the earth, for he considereth the poor. He's the one that reigns over all. You look around you today, you see the triumph of the enemies of God. You see their raging and their excitement at the advances they feel they have made for their causes. Oh, how they silence the gospel of Christ. Oh, how they have their freedom for their sin and iniquity to go forth. Oh, how they pronounce how free and how blessed they are. Yet their voices are but for a moment, and there is one who sits above on high who reigns over all, and they only speak because he allows them. They only speak because he gives them utterance. It's but a moment, and then the end will come, and then all those whom they rejected, then those few lost sheep, then those few scattered sheep of God who once were lost but now are saved, then those who were trampled underfoot, then you, believer, who today are trampled underfoot, hounded from here to there, hated and despised, put in jail perhaps, maybe some one day put to death, you, believer, no matter what your circumstance, you have this God above in heaven who lets your enemies speak for a moment, but in the end will hear your cry. Your cry out unto him. Your cry, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. Deliver me from mine enemies. Lord, raise me up. He hears your cry. He hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the oppressed. He hears the cry of sinners. He hears your cry. And if you cry unto him in faith, with that faith which only God can give, If you cry unto him in faith, looking unto this Saviour who suffered for sinners, looking unto this Saviour who reigns on high, then he will hear, and hearing you will be saved, because he will send forth his salvation. You will know it, and you will be brought to stand before him in the end. And unlike those unto whom he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you, unto you he will say, well done, a good and faithful servant. And all the struggle, all the trial, all the persecution, all the poverty, all the hardship, all the doubts and the fears will all come to an end, and you will enter into that wonderful place wherein the Lamb of God dwells, around whose throne you will sit, drinking of that water of life forevermore. That place where there are no tears, where there is no sorrow. That place, that new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There you will reign forevermore, knowing that you are with him who considereth the poor. Amen.